Well, it's down to formalities now on the debt ceiling, and we're all grateful for that, I suspect.
Yeah.
269 to 161, that was the votes in the House of Representatives last night, passing the debt ceiling. Democrats voting for something that a year ago no one could have imagined them ever voting for. But with the
Six weeks ago.
But it's an interesting x-ray of what's going on in the Congress right now. And what we wanted to focus on this morning is what hath the Tea Party wrought here? They brought on this debate, this cliffhanger. They certainly controlled the way the issues shook out. And where do they go from here? First of all, let's give you a snapshot of the Tea Party voices on all this. First of all, expressing some frustration, here's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
The House of Representatives is being run by this Tea Party right wing, very conservative, who are going around saying they want us to default on our debt.
Listen here to Senator Rand Paul, a Republican colleague of Harry Reid, but certainly not someone who agrees with him.
I think the debate has changed, and I think we're winning the political debate in the country, but we're not yet winning the legislative debate. But give us one more election. One more election, I think we'll start winning some battles.
Rand Paul sounding victorious, but he voted no.
No.
He voted no. So did this person here.
Someday you have to pay the piper. This is not going to lead us to a pro-growth economy. That's my fear. And so if we don't have a pro-growth economy to dig our way out of this, where are we going to go?
Presidential candidate and Minnesota Republican Tea Party Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, she voted no. They voted no, but they're political winners this morning. Anyone who voted yes on the debt ceiling bill who's a Tea Party member, or at least until the next Rush Limbaugh show, listen here to Florida's U.S. Representative Alan West.
It takes 5 miles to turn an aircraft carrier, so at least we're starting that motion. The most important thing is if we can get past 2013, 2014, we can get the right people that come in here and start with the structural reform, start prioritizing the spending bills that we have, start prioritizing the appropriations bills.
Wait for the numbers to increase in 2012. Well, there's certainly a lot of political calculus for the Tea Party this morning. We want to explore it with Kate Zernike, national correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and author of Boiling Mad, Inside Tea Party America. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
What a fascinating morning to be talking with you. We also have David Webb, founder of Tea Party 365 and host of The David Webb Show on Sirius XM Radio. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a smile on your face this morning, David?
I have a half a smile.
Let me just tell you something. No less than that roaring lefty, what's his name, I'm blanking now, who hosts Le Show on public radio. For heaven's sakes. Anyway, he was describing the Tea Party as having... Harry Scheer was describing the Tea Party as having well-played the White House, the GOP leadership, and even the Democratic leadership on this whole debt ceiling debate. David Webb, do you think the Tea Party has won?
I think the American people, because this isn't about, you know, it's nice when the pundits and, if you want to call it, the polar opposites sit there and focus on one element, but the spending bill is not going to come just to the Tea Party-backed candidates and the Tea Party constituents, if you want to call it that, out there. It's coming to all Americans. And for the big win here is that we have finally changed the dynamic from automatically borrowing and spending more money to how do we cut and clean up the morass that is government and the size of an basically unwielding entity.
That's David Webb, founder of Tea Party 365. We go from automatic borrowing to automatic cutting if you look at the mechanisms in this bill. Kate Zernike, what do you make of the Tea Party's apparent political victory, at least in some sense, even though a lot of them voted no?
Well, I think David is right that a lot of Tea Party sort of rank and file types and Tea Party lawmakers think that they've won a victory because they've changed the conversation. We're talking so much now more about cutting the budget. But I think we have to be really careful in defining what the Tea Party is. So a lot of Tea Party lawmakers who tend to be very sort of ideologically pure, like a Rand Paul, for instance, don't think that these spending cuts go far enough. So for him, for that wing of the Tea Party, this isn't enough. This isn't a big enough deal. But there are many, many...
But can we focus on that for 1 second, Kate?
Yeah.
He's established this is a trend. All right, here's our first step. He's basically mapped out a full run around the bases on this issue of spending cuts. Can the Tea Party sustain this through 2012 and deliver on this promise of increasing their numbers, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think certainly the mood in the country is still restless, and that is working in the Tea Party's favor. But again, what I was going to say is there are a bunch of Tea Party voters out there who did want Congress to come to some agreement. They didn't necessarily vote for Tea Party candidates because they wanted to block a debt ceiling increase. They voted because they wanted some action. They were upset with the status quo. They wanted something to happen in Washington. They wanted to see lawmakers acting responsibly. And so I think those voters may be actually just as frustrated with what we've seen in Washington over the last month or so, and not be inclined to support sort of the hardliners who might run in the next election.
That's Kate Zernike, national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. David Webb is also with us, founder of Tea Party 365. David, you know, they recently did a poll through the Pew Research Center, and almost 40% of those polled said they had a worse view of Tea Party members because of their intransigence over the debt ceiling and the fact that the country was nearly brought to the brink of default. What's your response to that?
That poll, because every other poll puts the broad principles of cutting in D.C. and of stopping the out-of-control spending at about 63% of Americans. And it'll also depend on if you weighed it. That's the nature of polling as it is. But the bottom line on this is, finally, in America, we've changed the dynamic. And, yes, there's more work to do because we can't continue on this path or we'll be insolvent as a nation.
Well, I would agree that the dynamic has changed. Kate Zernike, before we go, is it possible that in constitutional terms, as America approaches these various kind of financial crises and is beholden, in a sense, to bankers and financiers, we saw it during the financial meltdown, we see it here on the debt ceiling, that the minority commands a lot more power in these debates?
Oh, it's absolutely true. We've seen that with the Tea Party. Look, 22% of Americans call themselves Tea Party members, Tea Party supporters. Of that, only 31% said don't raise the debt ceiling. We were talking about a very small percentage of Tea Party supporters who were calling against raising the debt ceiling.
All right, Kate Zernike, national correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and author of Boiling Mad, Inside Tea Party America. Dave Webb, before we go, you going to increase numbers in 2012?
Yes, I see an increase. And again, I don't know where Kate's getting her numbers, because I talk to independents, Democrats, libertarians out there. It's not just the right-wing issue, which is a wrong thing. And frankly,
well, a lot of numbers coming in 2012. Dave, we're going to have to leave it there. Founder of the Tea Party 365, host of the Dave Webb Show on Sirius XM Radio. Tea Party, the morning after.